salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 21, verse number 29. The Lord Jesus has talked to his disciples about things that are going to come to pass towards the end, also things that they faced as apostles and as his church there, as they were persecuted initially. The whole view of the Lord Jesus Christ is a wide view. It takes in from time, the edge of time to edge of time. And so as he speaks about these things, being asked of his disciples about the end and when the stones of the temple would be found not one on top of the other. He's also speaking about what happened in AD 70 with the General Titus, a Roman general, coming in to put down insurrection and rebellion of Jerusalem under the Roman government. So all these things about the end and other things coming to pass are kind of rolled up into one, different points and different things mentioned in different aspects and times. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, verse 28 of Luke 21, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And so the Lord gives an example, a parable. He says, just like the fig tree and other trees, when you see that the tender shoots are springing forth and the leaves begin to come out and the buds begin to set and all those things come to pass, you know summer's coming on. Well, just like you know that, when you see these things come to pass, you'll know that the kingdom of God, the coming of Jesus, is at hand. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And so interesting about that statement, and there's the debate and wrangling about what that means. Is the Lord speaking about their generation in the day that he spoke these things, that these things would come to pass? Well, some of these things came to pass in the terrible oppression of the Jews and that which Titus did, but not all. And then there's been different things over time that have happened with the Jews and not all. But one day, all of these things, it'll be able to be noted that they'll come to pass. The temple has already been destroyed, not one stone left upon another. And so we understand that for fulfilling of all of these things, it is to come. He wasn't speaking about the generation there. Was he speaking about the generation towards the end that begins to see these things, that they will see them come to an end, that the Lord won't stretch it out for centuries, but it'll just be for a matter of time that one generation would see it. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Verse number 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. One thing that we can be guaranteed, not knowing the time of the end, is that the Lord will bring it to pass. It will come to pass. He will judge. He will reckon with the nations and of this world. He will come in power and great glory. He is coming for sure, and all that he says, that which we understand, that which we do not understand, indeed, our Lord Jesus will bring it to pass. Verse 34, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. This of surfeiting is being caught up in the affairs of life, and just the day-to-day thing of life. He says, take heed to yourselves. And that's the way the Lord Jesus always does. He brings it to the individual, to the individual. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the end of this world to be brought to an end? Are you ready for your judgment? It's a question that we ask so many times, and it's true. It must be considered by all. Are you ready to face your God? Take heed to yourselves, Jesus says. And he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Child of God, don't be so caught up with the way of this world and the function of this world and just the thing of day-to-day life. Be careful. Drunkenness, where we would despair and just drink and cause our lives to be non-impacted. We just become numb to the things of life and of the world. Don't go there. The cares of life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The Lord Jesus promises that it's going to come at that instant. That's the way a snare for an animal works, isn't it? It just comes and it triggers at an instant. And then it's all done before they even know that they're caught. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Who is worthy? Who can be worthy? That ye may be accounted worthy. He says, watch. As it says in other in the book of Mark, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. Are you ready for these things? How is it that one can be accounted worthy to escape such these things that will come to pass? To stand before the Son of Man. Who is it that can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Only those that are saved by him. Only those that have their sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Only those that have been redeemed by what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, paying for his people's sins. Only those that have Jesus as Savior can be counted worthy to escape indeed. Worthy in and of ourselves? No, no. The imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin of the sinner placed upon Christ, and the righteousness of Christ given freely to the individual that believes in him, his child. That's the only one. Those are the only ones that can be counted worthy. Are you saved? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? The Savior that has washed away your sins. The Savior that has lived for you, died for you, was buried for you, and rose again and lives forevermore for you. How is it for you? And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, verse 37. And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. So here we're at a time just very near the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these days, he's coming and going in and out of the temple, in and out of the temple, in and out of Jerusalem. A teaching there, staying in the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane at night, and then coming back and forth into the city, into the temple to teach. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 1, the scripture says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And so this celebration, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a feast that lasts for 7 days, right after the Passover day, and memorial and remembering what the Lord did in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, the beginning of Israel there at Passover, the new month has started. And in this month, they've been given explicit instructions about the putting up of a lamb. and for the households, and then the day to kill the lamb and catch the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the house, the eating of the Passover supper, and all those things are remembering what the Lord did in delivering Israel. The Lord's saying, when I see the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel, I will pass over you. And so in this and coming to this time, the chief priests and scribes are looking how they can kill Jesus. But they feared the people in doing that. And so they are trying to figure out what to do and how to go about it and do it. Then entered Satan, verse 3, into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Judas is a man not saved. He's a faker. Oh, yes, he's been chosen by the Lord to be an apostle, but it wasn't unknown to the Lord. The Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord knew, and the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God knew and determined that there needed to be one to betray the Lord. A betrayer. A betrayer indeed ordained of God. Oh, I'm so glad that this time has passed. This Judas Iscariot. Satan enters into him. He possesses him. This is indeed the working of Satan himself. And he went his way, it says in verse 4, and communed with the chief priests and captains, how that he might betray him unto them. He worked in their scheme and determined how it could be that he could be betray the Lord Jesus unto him. And they were glad. Why? They had one of the Lord's own. It was prophesied that it would be, and yes, there he is. They were glad and coveted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Where's a place? Where's a place that we can get him and you can betray him? You can identify him unto us, and the people won't be around. That's what they sought. That's what they looked for. That's what Judas brought and promised them. Where would that be? Where could that be that Judas could do such a thing? And in time he knew and he determined, being possessed by Satan, where and when it could be that Jesus would be betrayed. He was betrayed by his own. By those of his own company, he was betrayed. Betrayed of Judas and Iscariot. A man that faked to be saved, and he was ordained an apostle. Yes, even this apostle, a traitor of the Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle, a traitor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a testimony to us indeed that not even the highest office in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not salvation. The highest office of being an apostle did not save Judas. He was not saved. It's an affair indeed of the soul. How about you? Are you saved? We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. I see their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.